Y'all got the short preacher today. We got to make a choice adjustment. We continue to work our way through Luke's gospel. This morning we're in the 12th chapter and we read verses 49 to 56. So hear this word, and this is Jesus speaking. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Jesus has been hanging out in the region of Galilee for a while. I can understand why. Beautiful, lush, green area, as opposed to the rest of that area that's rocks and dirt. He's been hanging out there for a while. Crowds continue to follow him. The crowds are growing. Well, because he's a pretty cool guy. He's a pretty cool guy. He's been healing people along the way. Demons have been exorcised. He's even trending on social media. You know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the whole thing. You can almost imagine him in a pair of Hey Dudes with a cup of locally roasted coffee in hand, right? If Jesus were here today, that's sort of how I imagine he would be. And not surprisingly, he's been teaching as he goes around. A parable here, an exhortation there. Jesus is at work. Just a few verses ago, we heard him talking about, don't worry. Look at the lilies in the field. They don't toil or spin, and look how gorgeous they are. He reminded them that they were precious in God's sight. And just last week, we heard him say, do not be afraid, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I like that Jesus. Jesus is warm and he's cozy and he's gentle and he speaks kind words. But then we fast forward to today's passage and it feels like Jesus has had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I've come to bring fire to the earth, and oh, how I wish it were blazing already. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come for division. Jesus is confronting, and he's disruptive, and he's turning things upside down. What happened to consider the lilies? And what happened to our being precious in God's sight? I mean, where did this angry guy come from? Maybe he needs to switch to decaf. I don't know. We don't really like talking about this Jesus, do we? This Jesus feels angry and wrathful and intimidating. The wrath of God is a hard sell. Not many kids are memorizing these verses in vacation Bible school. We don't cross-stitch them and hang them in the walls of our homes. But it's a mistake to skip over this passage or to assume that Jesus' anger has no place in our 21st century modern theology. So let's turn to something that might be a little less grown up. In the children's novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is one of my favorites, and it's really not for children if you've ever read it, by C.S. Lewis, there are four British siblings who discover a wardrobe, a coat closet, and back through the back of that coat closet, there is a completely different kingdom, a magical kingdom, a magical world called Narnia. This world is filled with talking animals and the original Lion King, Aslan, who rules over all of Narnia. And the youngest child, Lucy, strikes up a conversation with Mr. Beaver and is asking about, curious about Aslan, and asks, "Is he quite safe?" To which Mr. Beaver replies, "Safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. Of course God isn't safe, but God is good." There are those in the kingdom of God who like to dwell on the fiery image of God, the seemingly unsafe, dangerous parts that scare and try to coerce us into obedience, try to force us into relationship. But that kind of thinking leaves little room for God's goodness. Goodness, that's my star word this year. I wear it around every day to remind me of the importance of the goodness of God. Now, there's a difference between anger, a difference between wrath that's rooted in hatred and wrath that's rooted in love. Anger draws its energy from hatred, and when it does, it leads to destruction and death. But anger that's motivated by love is dedicated to growth, and here's your big SAT word of the day, edification. Building up. This is a process sometimes that we go through of becoming fully the person that God wants us to be. Somebody says something that edifies you, that builds you up, boy, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? But sometimes people speak a word to you that makes you feel a little uneasy. It's not through anger, but it's a word that helps us to grow. It's a purifying word that comes to us. It cleanses us, and it might sting for a moment, but it helps us get to be the person that God wants us to be. This edifying word of God doesn't always feel easy, and it does not always feel loving. But because it's grounded in love and it's offered with hope, it leads to our building up and not to our destruction. Anger and fire are linked in this text this morning, as they are throughout much of Scripture. If you read through the Scriptures, you'll find anger and fire linked to each other. They're not just a sign of anger, it's a sign of transformation. The prophet Malachi talks about a refiner who sits by the fire. A refiner is a person who works with gold or with silver, and back in the day, they would set up their shops in the corner, and people would bring them their gold and their silver to purify. A woman went to a a refiner one day and said, how do you know when all of the bad stuff has been removed from the silver? And the silversmith, the refiner, said, when I can see my reflection in it. And so often that's what God does with us. Sometimes there are impurities in our lives. Sometimes, yeah, we do it to ourselves, like we heard with the children. Sometimes they're just things that happen to us, circumstances, other things that cause rough stuff to get in the way. But it's the fire of God's love, not of God's wrath, but the fire of God's love that refines and purifies, that rids us of all of that junk, all of that stuff, and allows others to see God's reflection in us. Several months ago, this past spring, a wildfire spread through Carolina Forest. Do you remember that? Man, everything smelled like smoke for weeks around here. It took a couple of months to get all of that fire under control. And it reminded me of something that I learned in a science class, probably botany, biology, somewhere along the way, that an area that has been burned, the new growth becomes much more resistant to damage in the future, that the pine cones that have been lying on the forest floor, because of the heat, will pop open, the seeds will be released, and it's a way that the forest can come back to life on its own, because that's the way God made it. When Jesus says, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, we're given an opportunity to trust in God's goodness. And that's not always easy. All we can see is fire. All we can see sometimes is devastation. But through it, we're given the opportunity to be edified, to be transformed, to grow, to stand in the fire with God that burns but doesn't destroy. So the next time you feel the heat of life around you and the smoke is so thick that you can't even see to take your next step, the next time you find yourself standing in the fire of crisis, remember the strange fire of God. Remember that God stands with you in the fire. Not always that God caused the fire, but that God will stand with you in the fire. And that God can take even that opportunity to refine you, to remove the debris and the junk that is clouding His reflection in your life and making you into something new. Like ashes that are left on the forest floor that make the ground even more fertile and more rich. The ashes left behind after the strange fire of God's reforming bring us to new life. It's been true since the beginning of creation. God has used dust and dirt and ash since the Garden of Eden, kneeling in the soil, breathing new life. And God can and does do that for us today. God kneels in the dirt and in the ash of our lives. gently whispering and tending, coaxing life out of places that appear to be charred and burned and useless. Where we see destruction, God sees promise and hope. In this burned and ashy ground, God says, new life is going to come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, this day. Amen.